Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. Shana Tova to everyone. Tonight is Rosh Hashanah. In this half hour of the show, we will be doing our annual year in review, the year 5776. Was it good for the Jews? That's the way we always do it. Together with Simone Jacobson, who is the editor-in-chief of the Allgemeiner Journal, no stranger to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayelech, which we're getting on to the end of the book. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah, like it's tonight. So there's lots of wonderful music. We've got a couple of new songs. We've got one a remix of a very old song, which I'm looking forward to playing. Before a Hasidic story way at the end. Stay tuned. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. President Barack Obama went to Israel to take part in the funeral of former President Shimon Peres on Friday. The president was one of 80 such heads of state who attended the ceremonies. The president praised Peres, saying, "There are few people who share this world with who." Let's try this again. "There are few people who we share this world with who change the course of human history, not just through their role in human events, but because they expand our moral imagination and force us to expect more of ourselves." At least one Palestinian was killed and three injured when a tunnel under the border with Gaza collapsed in Gaza. In Israel, collapsed with Gaza. The collapse is the latest in a series of cave-ins to claim Palestinian lives over the past year. Israel is working on a massive underground barrier that it hopes will prevent Hamas from burrowing under the border into Israel. According to its annual census, Israel's population grew by 2% this year. There are currently 6.5 million Jews living in Israel. 25,000 people made Aliyah, moved to Israel this year. A bill was introduced in the Senate, stay tuned, this is just the introduction, that would withhold funds from the Palestinian Authority until the Secretary of State certifies that the PA was not rewarding terrorists or their families for attacks on Israelis and Americans. The legislation is called the Taylor Force Act after a student who was murdered in a terrorist attack in March. And finally, in the sport, Team Israel beat Great Britain in the World Cup qualifier in Brooklyn 9-1. Israel now goes to the major tournament in March to be held this year in Seoul, Korea. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herr Schulfinman, here you are, listener of the Jewish Hour. We're doing this year, 5776, the Hebrew year, in review with editor-in-chief of the Allgemeiner Journal, the Jewish weekly newspaper published in New York and sent all over the world. How are you today, Simon Jacobson?
Very good. Thank God. Thank you for having
me. Thank you. Shana Tova. You should have a happy, healthy new year.
Shana Tova to you and to all your distinguished listeners. It should be a blessed year in every possible way.
Amen. Okay. Every year before Rosh Hashanah, we give a look at what happened to this globe that we live on called planet Earth, and to determine, was this year a good year for the Jews? Kind of like fits into that, there's an old joke that goes back to like 1956, where an old man is sitting in his living room and his little kid comes in, and it's in Brooklyn, and he says, Zeta, Zeta, guess what? The Dodgers won the pennant. And the Zeta looks at him and says, I haven't got a clue what you just said, but if it's good for the Jews, I'm very happy. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking to see, was this a good year? So let's start off things that happened this last year in Israel, Simone Jacobson.
Well, you know, with Jews, it's always the paradox. The good coming with the challenges, as it is in all complex situations. I was just in Israel a few weeks ago, and I can tell you, on one hand, you see an unbelievable renaissance of Jewish life. I mean, it's just, you can just stand on any corner, whether it's in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or any other city. And I, you know, just think of the Nazis, may their name be erased, turning in their graves, seeing such a vibrant growth, both of population. Now that Israel has surpassed the United States as being the largest Jewish population, the building, the construction, the yeshiva system, the Torah system. I mean, it's just miraculous to see in that part of the world, in such a volatile part of the world. So in that sense, I mean, you got to thank God for these blessings, especially when you compare it to 100 years ago, even 60 years ago, 50 years ago. And as Jews, we first thing we must acknowledge the blessings of our times, both Israel and abroad, the general Jewish life. It's been unprecedented, such freedoms that we have today, and our only enemy, in a way, spiritually speaking, is within. You know, we don't have the decrees of old where we have to be concerned about somebody arresting us being Jewish or not being able to send our children to the schools we'd like to send them to. Yes, we do have the challenges, of course, of global terrorism, but particularly in Israel, of course, is the, what they say, they call it the canaries, the miner's canary, where it's ultra sensitive to all the evils of the world. So there's the other side of things that, you know, they tell that joke about God when he created the world, and he, of course, Israel is a beautiful country, or the land of milk and honey, and the land of mountains and valleys, and all the different climates there. So the angel said to God, you know, it's not fair. You created such a beautiful country, you're giving it to the Jewish people, and like, you know, you got to do a little more balance. He says, wait till you see what kind of neighbors I'll give them.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So the other side of the coin, of course, is that there have been losses, there have been deaths, there have been attacks, stabbings, and, you know, even one person killed is more than tolerable. So we can't ignore that as well. And the world remains very volatile, and especially Israel. The biggest concern is not so much what's happening, but what could happen. It's unpredictable. There's a certain sense of tension. But I have to say, especially in Israel, the mood of Israelis, the mood of the Jews there is very strong, even when times are somewhat challenging. So, you know, excuse me. So in the final analysis for the past year, I have to say that I think the blessings to me outshine the challenges, but that doesn't mean we are blind to them or we're naive. And we hope, as we pray in the Rosh Hashanah prayer, that there should be world peace, and not just for Jews, but for the entire world. And I'm not getting now into what should be done. We're talking about more of a type of report card of the year. So I see that paradox, and I really think you can't really look at it black and white, because it's just too complicated to see it that way.
Okay. Let's talk some particulars. You mentioned before about building. So building has been actually a topic forever between in this what was referred to as the peace process, which I actually had a political pundit say that it's really not necessary for there to be peace in Israel. Just as long as there's a peace process, at least the world thinks that something's happening. You know, okay, there's like, they're talking right now, they're talking about talking, you know, so, but there's always been this thing about the settlements in Judea and Samaria, which is referred to in the colloquially as the West Bank. And now that Gaza is Judenrein, is free from any Jews. So what about continued building in the expanse of the Israeli settlements into Palestinian territory, or what they conceive as Palestinian territory, Simon Jacobson?
Yeah, well, recently, I don't know if you saw the clip from Prime Minister Netanyahu about this. I thought it was a very powerful little short video that he broadcast just a few weeks ago, I saw it. Where he addresses it directly, and I'll just paraphrase him. I think it's the best way to put it. He said, it's unheard of anywhere in the world where, you know, the concept that they want to have Judenfrei, as they say, you know, you call that ethnic cleansing, to have a part of Israel where there should be no Jews. I mean, it would be like saying that there should be a part of any country where there should be no Christians or no Muslims or no anything. So, let's be frank. I'll speak very directly and irreverently, if I may. The problem is not settlements. The problem is not what they call occupation or occupied territory. From 1948, if you look at the map, when the UN gave the charter, gave the mandate to Israel to form a Jewish state, it was slivers of land. We're talking about slivers, literally, I think 3-4 slivers of land. And they went to war immediately, and there was no occupied territory, and there was no settlements, and all that. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's a good excuse and a good way to argue. But they don't want Jews in Tel Aviv either, or Yaffa, or Haifa, or Jerusalem, for that matter. Now, I am not going to say that the entire Arab world, the Muslim world, is against the Jewish state. But there's enough of them that they are, and there's a state of war. And I think what we accepting this status quo and saying it's all fine as long as they continue this, it's a state of war. It is. They have not accepted Israel as a Jewish state, and I think that's where the focus has to be. Now, there's a propaganda machine that keeps focusing on the double standard on Jews doing this and doing that. I'm not to say that the Jewish people and Israel is doing everything right. Obviously, we're not living in a perfect world. But I think it's a very, just a distortion. It just disturbs me time and again. It's hard to even say anything because it's like politically incorrect. What do you mean? You know, you're occupying our land. You're occupying this and that. I even heard once, I forgot who it was, someone in the State Department who said, frankly, Israel, the what they call the West Bank or across the Green Line, is not technically, legally even called occupied territory. At best, it's disputed territory. Why? Because it was fought in a war, a defensive war, in the Six-Day War. It was conquered in war. Israel didn't go and suddenly occupy a piece of territory. They fought a war that was provoked by the Arab world, beginning with Nasser and Egypt and Jordan and Syria and a few other of the countries. And they won it in war. I mean, if that's the case, the United States is also occupied territory. We occupied Indian land. I mean, so even the word creates a distorted and a standard and an assumption that we have to now argue on why we're occupying it. I don't know how politically correct your radio program is and your audience. I just feel, you know, sometimes, some point in life, you have to just state the facts as they are. So,
indeed. I don't even do the disclaimer, the views expressed on this program, not necessarily those of the station or its advertised. I don't even do that one. Anyway, so let's go on. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is the editor-in-chief of the Algemeine Journal, one of the country's leading Jewish newspapers, and we're discussing Simon Jacobson, and we're discussing 5776, the Hebrew year in review. Let's move on out of Israel to say, we'll just put blanket at the rest of the world, excluding the United States. We talk about the United States separately. Let's focus maybe on Europe. Anti-Semitism in Europe. I reported last week that a poll, or some kind of census, I don't know how they did it, showed that anti-Semitic acts are down in Europe. Is anti-Semitism down in Europe, Simon Jacobson?
you know, these are very hard to quantify these statistics, because as I said before, even one act of anti-Semitism is really too much. I think, at least in the news, you hear less attacks. Last year, I think the year before 5775, there was the attacks in Paris and others. And I don't know, however, if the sentiment and the mood is less anti-Semitic. I do know that you walk the streets in Israel, you hear French all over the place. So there's a lot of French people, French Jews, moving to Israel. Some say that you know, the French the Jewish French population will not be very large in the next few years, because you don't need an attack. I mean, it's just a whole mood. Remember, Europe, and most of the calculations, will become a Muslim continent in the next decade or two. Now, I want to just qualify that. When I say that, I'm not stating, God forbid, that Muslims, to me, are God's children as well, and creations. It's just that the fact is that it's dominated by extremists. And so I don't know how kind of comfortable environment France or other Europe is going to be to the Jewish people as the Muslims become more of a majority, because they don't have a history of tolerance of, frankly, Jews or Christians for that matter. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about Jews here. So even though there may be a lull and things have quieted down, I mean, then you hear in Great Britain these rabid anti-Semites, the British form of it. So I think it's important to know in history. It's not like the stock market. It's not like you can measure things by month to month or even year to year. You have to really look at the overall trend. I think the overall trend is Europe is unfortunately, as they did during World War II, were silent, complicit in the horrors that happened. Now, I can't say it's quite like that, but Europe is really becoming almost a non-entity in the sense where I don't know how comfortable Jews really are there anymore. Mm-hmm. We have a long history, and it's sad. I heard recently from a businessman I know from Brussels. He said to me, you know, this is God's retribution for what the Europeans did to us. You know, had 6 million Jews not been killed in the Holocaust, had Europe not allowed that, where would those Jews be now? They would have been thriving business people and thriving communities throughout Europe. Europe probably would have been the superpower of the world. And so I'm not talking about revenge, but it's about they killed, you know, innocent men, women, and children. Let's not forget that. And again, it is not collective guilt in any way, but it's an environment that has not really proven itself to be so protective of Jews. Now, I understand France and others, they have legal laws, and they are doing whatever they can. But I know a few friends of mine, Rosh Hashanah, they don't put on their kippah when they go on the street. Synagogues are surrounded like a war zone, because anything can happen at any given time. Now, I just want to add, Herschel, that I'm not a pessimist. I believe, and I've been trained, I grew up around optimists who believe that we're going to a better place. But at the same time, we have to realistically sometimes look at what the reality is on the ground. I think in Russia, which surprisingly is far better for Jews than it is in Europe in some ways, because Putin seems to like Jews and he seems to protect them.
Mm-hmm. I've often maintained that Europe should be free of Jews from London to Vladivostok, giving not just the recent history, but going back to the Middle Ages, when the Muslims were our friends and the Christians were the ones who were trying to kill us. So, yeah. Anyway, anything good happen in Europe involving Judaism this year? Sticks in your mind, maybe, Simone Jacobson?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Jews are very, let's put it this way, we're resilient people. And we don't just lie down and cower in fear and wring our hands. I see when I've been to Europe a few times, I've been there, and I hear from our correspondents and from friends and so on, there's thriving communities. I mean, with all that we've said, let's not forget, there are schools. There are, especially France. I think France has more kosher restaurants than any other country in the world, even the United States. There's a serious renaissance of Jewish life there. Many, many Bali Tshuva people who grew up secular but have embraced their Judaism and very proud. You know, I'm right now speaking to you from New York, Crown Heights. Here there are hundreds of French people coming here for the holidays to celebrate. This is, of course, the center of Chabad headquarters, so they come here for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and I see them. I see their lebedik, as they say in Yiddish. They're lively. They're dancing in the streets. They have that spirit. So we can't ignore that. And they are living in France, And some of them feel very much that they're not going anywhere because we are here. As long as there's one Jew left in France, we're here to serve them. So the Chabad Shluchim emissaries who are there are not running anywhere, just like they didn't run in South Africa during the exodus there in the last few decades. In France, the same, and I think across the United States, across Europe, I should say. And I know the Chabad rabbi in Finland, in Norway, in Sweden. So they all got challenges, but I think Jews know and understand that we have to, on one hand, be very vigilant, but at the same time, we cannot become defined by our persecutors or by the people that hate us.
Okay,
that's their problem, not ours. And we have to build our families and homes. And I think that attitude is very prevalent. I do not see people saying, "Oh, you know, let's give up on our Judaism," you know, because of all this persecution. And the contrary, people are hunkering down, and they feel strong, and a lot of pride. So that's the good news.
Indeed. Indeed. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Simone Jacobson, the editor-in-chief of the Algemeiner Journal newspaper. We're talking about the year, the Hebrew years, 5776, of the year which we're just ending, which will be ending this evening. So let's move to the United States. I'm thinking that as far as like Judaism and awareness of Judaism, well, there was a major political candidate who happened to have been Jewish. It wasn't a major part of his life, but everybody still always referred to him as, oh, the Jewish Bernie Sanders, for example. What does that say about America that we had such a... I mean, it could have been that he was the candidate for the Democratic Party. Very close. What do you say, Simone?
Bernie Sanders. Well, you know, the story was a few years ago with so Senator Lieberman,
who was
Al Gore's running mate. I heard from Senator Lieberman that some fascinating stories that when Al Gore chose him, just to use that as an example, we'll get to Sanders in a moment, that when he was thinking of him as a vice presidential candidate for the Democratic Party when they ran in, when was it, 19, I forgot the year, but a few elections back.
Yeah.
Bush, again, Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when Gore finally chose him, he said, you know, I did a poll across the United States to see how they would accept the Jewish vice presidential candidate, who, of course, could become president. So Senator Lieberman asked him, so what was the result? He says, the Jews did not like it. But the Christians loved it. So he says, so why did you choose me? He says, because the Christians are the majority of this country.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, I personally think the country is ready for a Jewish candidate, meaning that despite the anti-Semitism that may have existed in the past, I think they're ready for it, and especially the non-Jews. Because that's how it is. The Jews are always the ones that are most defensive and paranoid. Sanders, you know, I don't think it was because of his Jewishness that caused him not to win the nomination. It may have been other reasons. Even though there were some innuendos here and there. Bottom line is, let's be honest, America has been a haven and a paradise for Jews. We have prospered here. We have been able to be as free about our religion and our faith as we wish to be. I mean, we have to, with all the challenges the United States has and all its, I'm sure there are plenty of negatives, but for the Jewish people, this is a gift from God, a land that that opened up its doors to us. Yes, we know during World War II, other times there were different issues, but I think I can't see how any Jew who is honest and lives up to our great mandate that we need to thank Thanksgiving and thank God and thank the hosts of this country for the freedoms they've given us. And the fact that Jews prosper here. You know, some people call New York, they call it, Jew City, not New York City or something like that. And the fact is that in the United States, I don't see any issue, not on a governmental level, not on any institutionalized level, that we should be complaining about anti-Semitism. Now, is there anti-Semitism? Of course there is. There's a cultural anti-Semitism, or some people call it anti-Semitism with manners, etc. But I don't see it really impacting most of the country. I mean, I guess I'm not everywhere, but I think for Jews, this country has been a boon. And I'm happy to hear another perspective, so feel free to play devil's advocate. You know, I don't know if we believe in the devil, but you know what I mean.
No, I'm actually quite in agreement with you, actually, Saman Jacobson. So, but, okay, so one of the things that...
is there anything we don't agree about? We've got to make this a little dramatic.
Okay, maybe it wasn't such a dramatic year this year. I noticed in many of the news wires, when they're looking over, especially JTA did this and a couple of the other ones, made a big thing that there were so many Jewish Olympians and Ali Raisman, it was a Jewish gold medalist. I personally think that's a non sequitur. You know, so the fact that a person's Jewish and they can happen to throw themselves around a room doesn't seem to make a whole big deal. But is this the theme of the show? Is this good for the Jews? So then, Simone Jacobson, having Jewish Olympians and Jewish gold medalists, is this good for the Jews?
No, there's an expression in the Torah that says, in the Bible, it says that Chachmaschum ubinaschum le'ena kol ha'amim. That your wisdom and your intelligence will be heralded before the eyes, before all the nations. So on one hand, when Jews excel, I think in any area, whether it's the Nobel Prizes that they win a disproportionate amount vis-a-vis our numbers, you know, 30 or 40% of Nobel Prizes, or authors, or writers and artists, and including Olympians, I think. In the general sense of the word, it's a Kiddush Hashem, as we call it. You know, a person excels in a particular area. You get more down to detail. I mean, some people will argue that Jews are really much stronger in their heads than they are in their bodies, meaning that you'll find many more Jewish scholars and geniuses like Einstein and such, rather than boxers or baseball players or Olympians and so on. But at the end of the day, listen... I think Mark Spitz was the one who won those 7 medals in the early 70s. Right. And, you know, I know Phelps now has outshined anyone. But then it was, I remember it was talked about. And some jokes were made. How do Jews have such type of athletic prowess and skills? You know, I'm glad I'm not in the Olympics because I don't think I would ever make it so. But right. But overall, I think whenever Jews excel in any given area, even if it's something that is as, I don't call it mundane, I don't know, I guess it's as... what do we call sports?
Sports.
Exhibitionist, I don't know the word for it. To me, it's a positive. I feel proud, you know. I feel proud. And I think it's good. It's good for the, as you said, good for the Jews. It's good for the world. At the end of the day, personally, I mean, look, we educate our children. And we've always excelled, as I said, in the academics and the scholarship and in bringing civilization to the world, ethics and morals and so on, sports. Is a good entertainment, maybe a good escape. I can't say it's like the ideal thing that we aspire to, but hey, you know, if someone's going to win, might as well be a Jew.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know if you heard the news. At the end of the news, I reported that the Team Israel finally qualified for the World Baseball Classic. So your prediction, how do you think Israel's going to do against, say, like teams like Venezuela and China, Simone Jacobson?
Yes, that's good. I mean, Israel is very good at this, what they call kadur regel, soccer.
This is baseball.
I know, but you mentioned baseball. I'm saying soccer has been their domain, basketball. I think they'll do well against those countries. I don't know how well they'll do against the United States, which is like the, you know, major leagues. It's a whole different story. Baseball is this America's pastime. I think they'll do good. I'm not so familiar, to be honest. I'm more familiar with the basketball because actually one of the guy that brought basketball, American basketball, to Israel happens to be a supporter of the Allgemeiner, Jeffrey Rosen. We honored him last year, so I'm a little more familiar. But I don't know enough to really say. If you want my guess, yeah, absolutely. Listen, we have to think like winners, and why not? Why can't, I mean, the Chinese and the Venezuelans. You know that joke, by the way, with the rowing team? The Jewish rowing team that kept on losing to the other, you know, they sent someone, a spy, to the Harvard rowing club to find out what's the secret. And he comes back and says, it's simple. There they have one guy yelling and 8 guys rowing, you know. And, of course, by the Jews, it's one guy rowing and 8 guys yelling. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Nice little, you know. But on a serious note, I see Israel is thriving on many levels. And, of course, sports is one of them. And I don't see any reason Israel can't match the best out there. As I said, the United States will probably have some challenges because simply baseball here is like the blood of this country.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some American, I guess, baseball players who become Israeli teams. I don't know.
Most of the Israeli team is American, yeah. Anyway, so, okay, that's going to wrap it up. But before we go, Simon Jacobson, editor-in-chief of the Algemeine Journal newspaper, you got a letter grade for the year 5776, all in total?
It's one of the most difficult questions to ask a publisher, editor, or writer, because, you know, we get into all the subtleties. Like in some ways, I'll say A in one, some areas F in others. I know you want to just have one.
I want mark. Overall. I know what I'm thinking, so I'll let you know what I'm thinking after you tell us what you think.
Overall, I tend to mark it higher, like a B maybe. A being the best, of course.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, I'm going to explain why. Even though there are many challenges, I can definitely we can zero in on them and really take them apart. But overall, I feel the optimism and the confidence, and we have a good history behind us of success, thousands of years of persecution. You know, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I'm a very confident. So even though the year has its challenges, but overall, I think the resilience and the strength of Israel enduring only makes it stronger. And that's mm-hmm. what I really see is the total mark of this.
Okay, we're basically in agreement. I give it a B+. Last year, I gave a C+, because of all the things that happened in Paris and what was going on in Gaza and the incidents of anti-Semitism in the United States that were happening. So we bumped up 5776, was a whole grade better than 5775 as far as the Jewish hour is concerned. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, Simon, for taking out some of your time. We wish you and yours and your extended readership as well a happy and a healthy and a sweet new year.
And same to you and to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. It's been our pleasure, and we reserve the right to call you again sometime in 5777.
Absolutely. Should be a year of blessings and peace.
Amen. Okay, that's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Schulpenman, here you are, listening to The Jewish Hour. Well, I guess it's been a pretty good year. Hopefully next year we'll get better. We've never had an A year. In 20 years I'm doing this, we do the year-end review. It's never been A, but I think what will be making an A is if Mashiach comes. And Mashiach could still come this year. We still have about 6 hours left in Detroit or so, 7 hours. For Mashiach to come in Detroit in 5776 in Israel already. It's already Rosh Hashanah, so it's already too late over there. But we'll take him now, too, and we'll decide did he come in 5776 or 5777. We'll worry about that later. Up next, brand new. This is Benny Friedman. This is a Rosh Hashanah song, B'Sefer HaChaim. It should be written and inscribed in the Book of Life.
Sefer Chaim, Berachov Shalom, Uparnoso, Panoso, Panoso Toivo, Nizuchei Beni Kuvosei, Lefonecho, Anachnu Vechol Amcho Beis Yisrael. Sefer Chaim, Berachov Shalom, Uparnoso, Panoso, Panoso Toivo, Nizuchei Beni Kuvosei, Lefonecho, Anachnu Vechol Amcho Beis Yisrael. Lechaim, 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 toivim, toivim v'arukim ulesholoim. Lechaim, 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 toivim, toivim v'arukim ulesholoim. Lechaim, 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 toivim, toivim v'arukim ulesholoim. Lechaim, 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 toivim, toivim v'arukim ulesholoim.
chaim Berucho v'sholoim Parnoso, parnoso Parnoso toivo Nizuchin v'nikubosei V'lefonecho Anachnu v'chol amcho Beis Yisrael Yisrael chaim Berucho v'sholoim Parnoso, parnoso Parnoso toivo Nizuchin v'nikubosei V'lefonecho Anachnu v'chol amcho Beis Yisrael L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim t'oivim T'oivim v'arukim u'lisholoim L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim t'oivim T'oivim v'arukim u'lisholoim L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim t'oivim T'oivim v'arukim u'lisholoim L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim t'oivim T'oivim v'arukim u'lisholoim
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This piece up next is actually very, I'm very excited about this one. This is Andy Statman and Zev Feldman, and they're playing a piece which they call the Turncover Shir, which means the song from Turncove, which I haven't got a clue where Turncove is. I can only assume that it's many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. Originally, this song was recorded in 1928 by Israel Hochman and his orchestra, and there it was titled the Galitziana Shir. And Galicia is southern Poland, where millions of Jews were living at the time. So let's listen to the Turncover Shir. Thank you.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Schulterman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for one more. This one's called Time for Clarity, Rosh Hashanah. And this is Aish.com. Let's listen.
Birthday of creation, yeah. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
We come so far to give up who we are. So let's raise the bar.
So far, we're wrong. Set your goals and get clarity. God looks at everyone, wants us to overcome. Make it like the worthy one. Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity.
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 Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity. The present rich with meaning. The future is yours for choosing. The shofar we are hearing. Apples dipped in honey.
We make mistakes. Start anew. We can change. Take stock. Suit your soul. Shine out the bulb. Time to grow. Rosh Hashanah written in the book of life. Rosh Hashanah, stop all the strife.
Sound the shofar, we're on. Set your goals and get clarity. God gives life everyone. Rosh Hashanah, back to square one. Envision what your life can become. Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity.
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 Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schulterman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Tonight is Rosh Hashanah. What's the big deal, Rosh Hashanah? It's actually, we had mentioned last week that Rosh Hashanah is not even mentioned in the Bible. It's not even called Rosh Hashanah. But we know that people will be in synagogue tomorrow. This is the marketing is really good. You go hear the shofar, God forgives you, you know, and everybody lives happily ever after. And so the synagogues are packed. Rabbis have been spending a month, if not more, all over the world writing their Rosh Hashanah speech, their sermon, because they know that there are going to be people sitting there that are not going to be back next until next Rosh Hashanah. So it's like, this is the only time we see you, and this is what I have to say. So it's really got to be fully packed. Why is it? What draws people to the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah is indicative. It's actually talked about in the Tanya. There's a letter from the first Lubavitcher Rebbe that talks about the land of Israel, the eyes upon it. It's a letter requesting charity. And that if you say you gave last year to charity, well, okay, fine. Well, this is a new year. And what does that mean? It says in the verse that Israel is the land which the eyes of God are upon from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And the obvious question is if we're saying that God's looking at it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, as soon as you get to the end of the year, it's the beginning of the next year. So it should say that the guise of Hashem are upon Israel. And if you want, you can throw the word always in, but that's not even necessary. Just say God's watching it. But it doesn't work that way because the word beginning is spelled wrong. And even when words are sort of like spelled wrong in Hebrew, in the Bible for sure, it means something. There are letters that you can sort of like finagle because of the vowel, the vocalization of them. So the word is missing a letter, and it's missing the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph, which we say has a numerical value for one, which stands for God, since God is really truly the only one. Indicating that on Rosh Hashanah, the year is full. Look at the potential that we have. Starting tonight, the potential that we have to accomplish in the year 5777 is magnificent. But look where we are right now. We're at the end of 5776. We only have, look at my clock over here, we only have candlelighting time tonight in the greater Detroit area it's like 6:52. And yeah, it's 6 hours and change. Yeah, 6 hours. We're at 11:52. So 7 hours. Okay, so a lot can happen in 7 hours, but not as much as can happen in a year. So we see as the year is waning, even though it's been raining the whole year, but that's bad. I'm not going to go there. As the year is coming to an end, so 5776 and what was appropriated last Rosh Hashanah is ending. And this year now marks a new beginning. And whenever we have a new beginning, we want to say, let's take charge. Let's do it. Let's make this one the year. Like I said before, what would make this year an A-plus year? Mashiach came. That would really do it. So let's just hope. Pray. Demand. We got to take, speaking of demanding, we have to pay the piper. Let's listen to a quick commercial. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. You'll find the way to contact me right on the homepage. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show going back an entire year now. You could sit and listen to your heart's content and even more. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, ways in which we try to convey Judaism in an entertaining and educational way, all very quick ways that, you know, we know people don't have a lot of time. So we try to be poignant and concise in everything that we do at rabbifinman.com. There's also classes, which are really pretty heavy. You can check those out. There's also the donations page. I was very happy that on September 30th, we paid off September. So in September, we actually paid off July, August, and September. We knew we could do it. And I said that if we were going to pay off September in September, I wouldn't talk about it anymore. But today happens to be October. So we're glad we're current. Salem Communications is even more glad that we're current. And we have October now. So now that it's October, you can still get it in for $57.76 if you do it today. It still counts to the old year. Make sure your tithes are up to snuff before sundown tonight. Go to your computer, check out your checkbook. Make sure that your 10% has been given. And go to rabbifinman.com, make a donation. Don't like doing internet donations? I understand. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, celebrated his birthday today. He was born, I don't know what year he was born, I'm sorry. I think it was 1779. It was probably 1789, somewhere around there. He was late 1700s he was born. He was known as a tremendous miracle worker, but that was just a sideline. Like last week, we told the story about the Baal Shem Tov and his miracles. It's like, okay, so God wants people to do miracles. He is most known for his 50,000 little notebooks, which contained insights into every aspect and facet of the Torah. Much of that has been published. A lot of it's still sitting in the Lenin Library in Moscow, and the Russians refused to let it out. So a lot of that is still under wraps. We still don't know much of what the Tzemach Tzedek wrote. But it once happened, speaking of miracles, it once happened that the Baal Shem Tov, the Tzemach Tzedek was known for finding lost husbands. It's one of those things, people would just disappear. And women, if they were married to this person who disappeared, they're stuck. They're called an aguna. They're chained. They can't get married. They don't know where their husband is. So there was a woman. And this woman was actually a second cousin of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe was married to his cousin, so he was second cousin to the Rebbetzin as well. And so she went and complained, this woman, to the Rebbe's wife about her husband. So she said, listen, go send your 8-year-old son with a note asking about your husband. So I said, okay, fine. They sent the kid in. The kid was aphasic. He couldn't talk. 8 years old, he had never uttered a word. So the kid presents the note to the rabbi. The rabbi tucks and says, tell your mother that your father is in Berditcha. So kid walks out and says, Ma, the Rebbe says that dad is in Berditchev. Never mind that he knows where the father is in Berditchev, but the kid talked for the first time. So word got around, and the third son of the altar of the Tzemach Tzedek was a bit challenged his father and said, word in the street is that you did a miracle. You made a kid who couldn't talk. So he said, I didn't do anything. No one told me the kid couldn't talk. So that's going to do it. We want to thank you so much for tuning in for this entire year, 5776. And we wish you a wonderful, a happy, a healthy, and all good things for 5777. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We'll see you back again next week in the new year. Take care.
Yah, 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 Y